From Jinden to Tarago, Bungendore to Nelligan, Braidwood FM, your local radio station.
And good afternoon, it's Rob McClewy. With Nicole Overall on the other line, we'll just switch our way through. Hello, Nicole, have we got you today?
Yep.
We've got a couple of questions for you. Now, you're the national candidate in the seat of Monaro.
That's right.
And what qualities do you think you'll bring to the role of the member for Monaro? What personal qualities?
Well, look, I think people who know me and people who have had the chance to get to know me, and hopefully the people that will into the future, will know that I'm a person who has long been very invested in our communities in a variety of ways. You know, this isn't I'm not a Johnny come lately to this. I've lived in this region for more than 30 years. I actually grew up in Griffith, New South Wales, and Hay, where my grandparents had a small property on the banks of the Murrumbidgee. So I'm a country girl at heart, and that's who I am in my background. I'm a very straightforward person. I think I'm a pretty practical person, and I believe that those qualities about me I have had on display within our community over many years being involved in the various ways that I have been. Everything from president of Meals on Wheels in Queanbeyan for 7 years. I've been the independent chair of Headspace here in Queanbeyan, the mental health services for our young people for 3 years. I've been involved in the educational sector over there in Canberra as board member and chair of St Edmunds, first female chair for St Edmunds in its history as well, and also Molonglo support services in terms of domestic violence and homelessness. So they're, you know, causes that I've been involved with for a long period of time because they mean a great deal to me, and I know how critical and important those type of organisations and services are in our community. And then, of course, in my work as a journalist and historian, I don't think it's any secret how passionate I am about, you know, not just this region, but our wider region in totality, and the effort and the time that I've invested into all of that. So for me, it was when I was asked to consider putting myself forward in this role, it was more or less a bit of a natural progression for me, because I continue to see it as and hope to get there to be able to continue to serve our communities, and by serving our communities, that is being out there, listening to them, hearing what they have to say, knowing what is meaningful and matters to them, and being a strong voice and an advocate for us, a continued advocate for us in Parliament.
Okay. We could have almost known each other. I grew up at Naranda in the early years, so there you go.
There you go.
Riverina people.
That's right. Absolutely. Okay. Great place to grow up.
Oh, something in the water out there. There's no doubt about it.
It is indeed. And I still have many, many family and friends who still live there. And I just had to go back just recently because, sadly, my grandma did die just last month. So
I'm so
went
sorry.
Back for her funeral. Yeah, thank you. I would have liked her to have been here to be part of this, but she knew that I was running and that I put my hand up, and she was very proud of me for doing so. So I'm sure she's watching over me.
Okay, well, one of the harder questions I'll ask you, and I think it's one that needs to be asked because it's sort of being spoken about in my circle of friends, certainly. What is your attitude to the sort of pork barrelling as a means of obtaining votes, particularly given a pretty damning recent New South Wales auditor's report? How do you feel about that whole issue that's sort of floating around, not just at a state level either?
Look, I think there's two parts to that question for me from my own personal point of view. The first is, I don't think anybody should buy votes in any way, and that's not just you know, by providing money to communities. That's about not promising things that you may not be able to deliver, not making pie in the sky commitments or you know, promising the world and then delivering a globe. I'm all about not over-promising and under-delivering. You should be able to back up what you're putting forward. I'm very much a person who does what she says she's going to do. So I don't personally believe in buying votes in any way, you know, whether that's, you know, promising grants and funding or whatever. You've got to be able to back up what you're going to be able to commit to. So that's the first part of that question for me personally.
Right.
The second part of it is I personally believe that being a representative for any community, any electorate, doesn't matter whether it's Monero or anywhere else, if you are elected, you are elected to be there to advocate and to push and to do whatever you need to do to make sure that your electorate is being looked after. I'm not saying that it shouldn't go through absolutely, you know, proper processes and procedures to make sure that it's fair and balanced and equitable. Of course, that's what needs to occur, but If I'm elected on Saturday, tomorrow as it is, I will absolutely be knocking on every door I need to and making sure that the priorities of this community as expressed to me are being advanced, listened to and addressed in any way that we need to have it addressed, because that's what your job is as a community representative. I don't see it as being a politician. My job is to represent this community, and by the community I mean the entire electorate and the smaller communities as well. And that's why I'm a national too, because too often it's the smaller communities, our smaller regional and rural areas, that are overlooked and that people don't push hard enough for them. And I will tell you one thing, Rod, that in the 4 months that I've been out there, every single day since I was pre-selected, out there, you know, I've visited every single part of this electorate at least a couple of times over, and people are coming back to me saying, Nicole, you're the only one that's running for this election that we've actually seen anywhere outside of Queanbeyan and Jerrabombra. You're the one who's coming down to Adaminaby and going to Araluen and out there at Nerriga. I was at Nerriga on the weekend again, and that's because I truly do care. So the first step of that for me is to make sure that I am out there in those communities knowing what matters to them, and then being that voice in government, being able to present the case of what we want, what we need, and how we're going to move forward together. So that's my answer to that rather complex question, Rod.
I think it's a pretty good answer, as a matter of fact, Nicole. Very refreshing. What major initiatives would you pursue for Monero residents as a local member? What is head of your agenda?
Right, well, I can be very clear on this because, as I said, it has been 4 months that I've been out there doing this, and the first thing that I can say, it is definitely not my agenda. It's not what I want to see happen. It's not my personal view or opinion. It is the view of the communities that I've been visiting, and what they are telling me is their priorities, and which is exactly the way it should be. And I can tell you that the top three priorities as expressed to me, whatever communities I've been visiting throughout the electorate, is to make sure that the commitments made at the 2019 election, whether it's our schools, whether it's our healthcare sector, whether it's making sure that we've got jobs and opportunities for our young people, the commitments that have been made, some of which have already been delivered, some of which are in the process of being delivered, but others that, you know, we have fallen behind because of COVID and everything we've gone through as well, is to make sure that we have those delivered in the time frames that they were committed to be delivered. And a lot of them, that is by 2023. And for me, it's not about the election cycle of 2023. It's making sure that we live up to the commitments that have been made. So that's the number one thing, to see those through to their successful conclusion. The second one is, and it is on everybody's lips, it's the word on everybody's lips, even if it isn't the sexiest topic around, but our roads. And once again, you know, there's a bit of chatter out there about the fact that, oh, well, you know, it's like we had the Deputy Premier as the member for Monero and more should have been done. But let's be real about this. We've had bushfires, we've had floods, we've had COVID, we've been dealing with all of these situations, you know, the extraordinary wet weather that we're having at the minute, things that have been outside of our control. And so we haven't been able to attend to these things as well as we need to. But the condition of our roads is one that is of critical importance, because they have been under such stress and strain. We do need to make sure that we get back on the program of bringing them up to speed. And that's why I've had Sam Faraway, the Minister for Roads and Transport, I've actually had him down a couple of times during the course of this campaign. I've actually taken him out on the roads to show him the state of our roads and what we need to prioritise in all of that. People have now seen that it's like I am really proud to say that I've actually advocated to bring forward the $10 million worth of work on the Captain's Flat Road. You can see that the work that's now happening in Braidwood, finally, it's like we're getting that going as well. And just a small thing, but a big, you know, issue locally as well, and a big shout out to Laura from the Visitor Information Centre there as well, who brought to mine and Sam Faraway's attention literally only 3 or 4 weeks ago the need for the pedestrian crossings there in the main street of Braidwood, and they've already been delivered. It's like, you know, I'm not even there as the member, but I'm still advocating for these things to happen and progress to be made. And then the third point of that, Rod, is that out there the communities are telling me they really want us to just get back on track and get back to some sort of normality and stability and certainty so that we can move forward with our lives, that they are really tired of living like hermits, living in fear. We want to do it safely and soundly, but that they do want to get on, and that means we have to, as a government, and should I get there tomorrow, that we have to continue to be able to look after our small businesses, make sure that they're okay and that they're on the road to recovery, make sure that we've got jobs available for our young people and older people as well, and working together so that we can continue to emerge on the road to recovery from what we've been through over these last few years. So they're my top three.
Okay. Braidwood has a great hospital facility. It's almost brand new. But we don't have a doctor on call. Now, we're, as you would be well aware, we're at the halfway point on a major artery to the coast from Canberra. Is there anything that you feel you might be able to do to improve that situation for us?
Look, there are a few things happening in that space, I'm really pleased to say. And yes, I was just there at the Braidwood MPS the other day. It's and what a great facility
it is
now. But yes, it is important. It's like it's no point having the infrastructure there if we don't have the services to be able to back it up. And Braidwood isn't alone in all of this. As we know, it's like, you know, particularly our health workers are the ones who have been on the front line and facing most of it, and we know how much stress and strain that they've been under. But everywhere, whether it's, you know, down in Delegat as well and Bombala, particularly the smaller areas, the need for highly trained, not just doctors, but nurses as well, and healthcare workers, aged care workers, so important that we have these types of trained people remaining in our areas, because there's no point people coming to live in our regions if we're not able to provide these basic services. So it is a bit of an issue throughout our electorate and beyond that as well. But some of the great initiatives that have been happening that are progressing, we're looking at things like just the other day I was with the Deputy Premier in Cooma, and they've just opened announced $15 million for new accommodation as part of the Cooma Hospital in order to provide for not just the nurses but the health workers who need to have short-stay accommodation while they're finding other things to live when they move to those areas. So initiatives like that, making sure we've got somewhere for our healthcare workers to be living when they move to our regions is part of that. How do we attract them there in the first place? Well, this becomes a federal matter then, but I have had conversations with Dr. David Gillespie, who is, of course, the federal health minister, initiatives that the federal government has just put into place, things like newly emerged doctors, so they've just finished their degrees, if they come to rural and regional areas and stay for the amount of time of their degree, the length of their degree, they're able to reduce their HEX debt as part of that. So these are the sorts of steps we need to take to be able to encourage these trained professionals to come to our regions and then be able to keep them here as well, because we have to be able to back that up. So it is a big problem without a doubt, but there are things definitely happening in that space, and certainly the New South Wales government has very much got its eye on what more we can and need to be doing. Trainees as well, so there's a connected learning centre that was just opened up the sod was turned for it down in Jindabyne the other day. We've got the Country University Centre that's actually being able to train our local people here at home. They can stay here, they can do their degrees and training and then go into our workforces as well. So this is the sort of initiatives that we need to be able to keep this going forward.
Okay. Are you a supporter of renewable energy, Nicole?
I am indeed, and one of the greatest renewable energy sources in the Southern Hemisphere, of course, the Snowy Hydro 2, right here in our backyard, and I am absolutely a huge advocate of that. And I'm also really proud to say that it is the New South Wales Nationals in government that, and bipartisan support. And it's like I've been sitting in Meet the Candidates meetings all week this week, and the other candidates actually acknowledge how much work and how much progress the New South Wales government has made in this space and are continuing to make. And it is research and development. You know, it's fine for us to say we've got solar and wind, but we've got to start looking outside the square to say what else can we be doing. We can't just keep having the same arguments and the same debates. We've got to be innovative and move forward in all of this to make sure that we've actually got solutions, and solutions that don't leave people behind. We want to be able to do this because we are all in it together, but we don't want to do it in a way that there are some who may be worse off. We have to be positive and proactive in this space. So it's great to see things like their initiatives in increasing numbers of electric vehicles, and then as part of that we've got EV charging stations that are either in place or being planned for more areas as well. We've got things like hydrogen hubs that are going to be introduced into the regions that not just allow the renewable energy sources that we may need into the future, but also providing jobs for our areas as well. So all of these really exciting developments that I am very happy to continue to promote and push should I be the representative for this area.
Okay. The caring professions, nurses, AMBOs, teachers, have been on the front line, along with many others, with COVID, and they've been thanked. But do you support looking at ways to increase their salaries and conditions, especially as we're starting to see quite severe shortages and exhaustion biting in most of those areas?
Yeah, look, and this is, as you know, Rod, that this is a much bigger question and one that requires much more in-depth analysis. And as a candidate, again, you know, not wanting to express a personal opinion that isn't fully informed and backed up by what's actually going on in that space, I won't venture too far into that, except for saying that, of course, it's like those who are in those professions, so critical to everywhere, it's like, but never more so than our rural and regional areas. We need to make sure that they're being looked after to the best of our abilities, that they're being incentivized. It's like they're already incentivized because they do a great job, and it's like they're, you know, the people who go into these professions aren't doing it to be patted on the back, but clearly they're committed to their communities that they're living and working in, but ways in which we might be able to better assist and acknowledge them in those sorts of spaces, of course we absolutely should be doing that. And again, because we need to be able to not just attract them to our regions, attract them away from Sydney, Newcastle and Wollongong as most of the focus is, but we need to for them to come down and be part of our communities and want to stay. So there has to be the options and the potential that makes that attractive for them, not just doing the job, but what more might we need to do to support them. So again, that's more of a personal view on it rather than the looking at it from the government side of things, but it's certainly something that I would look at much more closely if I get up tomorrow to say what might we be able to do in this space to achieve those things.
It's always puzzled me, Nicole, every time I go to Sydney and come back, I can't understand why people find it so daunting to come to the country. I really don't understand it.
Exactly. We're good country people, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
We're the opposite. Say, why the heck would you live up there?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, look, one final question, and it's been a pleasure speaking with you. What final message do you have for the electors of Monaro tomorrow?
My final message would probably be that it is a by-election, and certainly it's one that I know that has come as a surprise to people, came as a bit of a surprise to me too, I won't deny. I was looking a little bit further down the track, but when John Barilaro came and told me that it would be earlier, well, you know, I decided there was time to step up to the plate. And what I will say is that because it's a by-election, it's not going to change the New South Wales government. They will remain the same until at least 2023. What's important to remember in this is that we need to make sure that the Monero, and that includes Braidwood, continues to have a strong voice and someone who's going to still be there to be able to stand up and vouch for and advocate and lobby those who are in government as part of that government to be able to deliver for where we live. And that means we need a voice in government who's going to be prepared to do that and able to do that. And I believe that I'm the person that can do that. The other thing that I'll say is that the onus then is all on me, because unfortunately we will be going back to the polls, you know, in a year's time for the general election. So I'm asking people to give me their support. Let me show the representative that I want to be and what I think that I can achieve for our electorate based on what's coming back to me and what's being relayed to me as the areas of priority and the matters that that are critical to us. Let me be that person. And if I don't live up to it, if I don't stand up and be the representative that I've committed to you all to that I'd be, then in 12 months' time you have the opportunity to review that decision. So the onus is all on me.
Nicole Overall, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. National Party candidate for the Monero election, and the very best of luck to you.
Thank you very much, Rod. I enjoyed having the chat.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
This is Braidwood FM.